retelling the story of Wigmore Hall. He traces the hall's history from its beginning as a recital room built by Bechsteins to today, when this beautiful Edwardian building is one of the most highly regarded chamber music venues in the world. And then after the interval, the pianist Stephen Huff joins the Tokarczuk Quartet for Dvorak's Sunny and Lyrical Piano Quintet in A. So that's on Tuesday. Then on Wednesday, the second gala concert features the American violinist Joshua Bell and the viola player Tabea Zimmerman and the British cellist Stephen Isserlis, with music by Beethoven, Schubert and Dvorak. Ending with Elgar's Piano Quintet, which was composed in 1919 and was given its first performance at Wigmore Hall. So there we are, Tuesday and Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock this week, live here on BBC Radio 3. 90 to 93 FM, on digital radio and also online. It's gone 1 o'clock and time for the news from Lopa Kotari.
NATO is investigating reports that 14 civilians, including 12 children, were killed in a coalition airstrike in southern Afghanistan. The planes were sent in after a soldier was killed in a gun battle with insurgents in the area. The Afghan government has previously criticised the killing of civilians by foreign troops. Government troops and tanks in Syria are reported to have surrounded and attacked two towns in the west of the country. Protests against the regime are still continuing, despite a crackdown which is believed to have led to the deaths of more than 1,000 people. The Defence Secretary, Liam Fox, has confirmed that Britain helped to train an elite Saudi security force which sent troops to Bahrain in March, but he denied that Saudi Arabia's National Guard had been involved in the violent suppression of anti-government protests. Police in Serbia have increased security ahead of a planned protest this evening against the arrest of the former Bosnian Serb military commander Ratko Mladic. The ultra-nationalist Serbian Radical Party, which is organising the protest, claims General Mladic is a war hero. FIFA's Ethics Committee is due to meet later this afternoon to discuss allegations of bribery against leading members of football's international body. The only rival to Sepp Blatter in the organisation's presidential election, the Qatari Mohammed bin Hammam, has now been withdrawn from the race. South Tyneside Council has confirmed that it's taken Twitter to court in California to try to discover the identity of a blogger who's been making allegedly libelous statements about council leaders and an official. The council says it has a duty of care to protect its employees from damaging claims. 10 people are now known to have died from E. coli poisoning in Germany. Officials suspect the source of the bacteria are organic cucumbers imported from Spain. The people of Malta have voted to legalise divorce in a referendum. The government says it will now bring forward legislation to implement the change. And finally, the weather. It'll be a cloudy and windy afternoon in most places. There'll be showers in Scotland, but elsewhere it should stay largely dry. That's the latest BBC News and Weather. The time is 3 minutes past one.
And time for the Early Music Show, presented today by Lucy Skeeping.
Welcome to the second of our programmes of highlights from this year's Lufthansa Festival of Baroque Music. Our performers today are Robin Blaise, one of Europe's leading countertenors, and the five players, collectively known as the Theatre of the Air, spelt A-Y-R-E, an ensemble formed back in 2007 by the lutenist Elizabeth Kenny. Their concert focused on the little-known repertoire of songs, cantatas and instrumental music that came out of the Austro-German lands during the 17th century. If you heard yesterday's early music show, you'll know that the festival's theme this year was the Hanseatic League, the trading alliance of North European cities whose increased prosperity when it came to business was matched by a flowering of culture of all kinds, art, literature and music, which was heard in the opera houses, in civic concerts and, of course, in the churches. The Hanseatic network spread from the Baltic coast down to Krakow. It went as far west as France and it even had outposts along the west coast of Britain. But today we begin our musical journey in the North German town of Lübeck, the home of the composer Dietrich Buxtehude. We're going to hear his exuberant setting of the psalm Jubilate Domino. But first, I asked Robin Blaise about the style. Old Buxtehude was tucked away as organist of Lübeck's Marienkirche for almost 40 years. So was he influenced at all by the sparkle and the drama of the Italian style, which was fast sweeping across all of Europe in this period? Or can we still hear in this piece what we might call the German sound?
Well, I still see it as quite German, actually. I mean, I suppose, very simply, the setting of the text as well is much more in the traditional early Baroque sense, and you see much less freedom. It never quite goes to the sort of florid recitativo style that you find in the Italian music. What it does have, though, is it's clearly very virtuosic music. It's written for an extraordinary, amazing gamba part, actually. I mean, it's all, I wouldn't quite say unplayable, but it takes absolutely someone at the top of their abilities. And so it's quite clearly someone who was hand-picked by the composer. You could not present this to a gamba player and say, oh, this is the cantata this Sunday. I mean, they'd throw a fit. It's so difficult. It goes absolutely into the stratosphere in high registers and then jumping right down into low registers. So it has that. And similarly for the vocal style as well, it's quite virtuosic and it's very sort of expressive. But what you don't get is you don't get the operatic extreme influence of the Italian yet in Buxtehude. You just see the beginnings of it, really.
Robin Blaise, and here he is with the Theatre of the Air performing Buxtehude's Jubilate Domino.
Thank you. cela, cetera, et forse salvi. Sancti te domino in cintera. Salite, 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 salite.
Make a joyful noise and sing praise to the Lord. Buxtehude's setting of Psalm 98, performed by the countertenor Robin Blaise and the Theatre of the Air. The opening piece from their concert given earlier this month at St John's Smith Square. And a special mention, I think, for Alison MacGillivray for her virtuosic playing there on the viola da gamba. The next leg of our Hanseatic journey takes us to Vienna and one of the most important composers of instrumental music at the Habsburg court, Johann Heinrich Schmelzer, who wrote a lament on the death of his employer, Emperor Ferdinand III. As you'd expect, it's a suitably sombre piece, but with some surprises too, as the ensemble's violinist Rachel Podger explains.
Well, this is wonderful, very intimate piece by Schmelzer, who's of course very influenced by Italian style, the Stilus Fantasticus idea, kind of rapid notes in succession. But actually this piece doesn't really excel quite so much in that because it's, of course, it's a lament. So there's a lot of pain in it, and it really explores that kind of strange harmonies, odd intervals, sometimes at odds with each other in the group, and interesting rhythms. And there's actually some kind of church bells in the piece, which are just a succession of the same chord, death bells, as they were called. They were very high. And the ones that are in the piece aren't particularly high, but they have a kind of resonance. And it's a great moment in the piece because it's just kind of static. It's before there's a lot of kind of movement and exploration. And then suddenly you have this kind of static moment, which brings you in a way back down to earth or back into life, even though they're death bells. Like paradox there. Then the exploration kind of goes on and there's a dance at the end and it kind of ends slightly open-ended, maybe kind of not knowing what happened to him.
Thank you.
The Theatre of the Air, with Schmelzer's Lamento, written in 1657 on the death of his employer, Emperor Ferdinand III. Well, they're joined again now by the countertenor Robin Blaise. Earlier on, he talked to me about just how much, if at all, the Italian style had influenced some of the German composers we're hearing in the cities of the Hanseatic League. Certainly, new developments from the south in opera and virtuosic instrumental playing were making their mark. And one who was highly influenced by all this was Heinrich Schütz, who travelled to Venice at the age of 20 to study with the great Gabrielli. It must have been quite a culture shock for this young man from the rather staid Saxon town of Weissenfels, but he soon picked up the vibe of the lively city, producing madrigals and cantatas with all the colour and drama and virtuosity of his Venetian counterparts. In fact, this devotional cantata, for all its very personal, intimate style, does, I think, still reveal some of the operatic passion that Schütz must have witnessed in Venice. O Susa, O Freundlicher, O sweet, O kind, O gentle Lord Jesus Christ. Robin Blaise with organist James Johnston.
Ach, dass ich bald zu dir kommen und dann ach, dass ich bald zu dir kommen, ach, ach, dass ich bald zu dir kommen und deine Herrlichkeit schauen sollte. Ach, ach, dass ich bald zu dir kommen und deine Herrlichkeit schauen sollte.
Robin Blaise and organist James Johnston with a church cantata by Heinrich Schütz, who was Kapellmeister to the Duke of Saxony. Schütz certainly wasn't afraid to introduce Germany to the musical developments he discovered in Italy. Nevertheless, there were pockets of resistance, particularly when it came to the church, where the Latin psalms of the Catholic world could be full-on and highly dramatic. In the Lutheran tradition, things tended to be more intimate, with the emphasis on smaller forces, and of course with the texts in German. I asked Robin how popular the countertenor voice was in the German church of the time.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I think we think of it these days as a very English domain. We think countertenors are, to a certain extent, we imagine that they were invented with Alfred Deller again, which they clearly weren't. The German tradition of choir singing, it hasn't fallen out of practice, but it's certainly fallen out of the state of dominance that we've seen continues right through the Baroque and through the classical in England. So they had choirs with countertenors in the Baroque just as much as we did. And so at this period, it's actually one of the richest troves of music actually written specifically from male countertenor voice. They had these Knabensänger as well, and they were potentially would sing the music of Bach. But if you look at this, where it's solo cantatas, and there's loads of them, that is actually written for adult singers. And so the alto register repertoire is actually specifically for countertenors. So there's a lot, actually.
Well, this piece may talk of sin, damnation and repentance, but don't worry, things cheer up a bit by the final amen. Here's Robin Blaise and the Theatre of the Air with Johann Franck's church cantata, Weil Jesu ich in meinem Sinn.
Ein Betrieb. Manassas, wie David und Manassas, wie David und Manassas. Und gene wollt durch Blute sein, von Sünden abgewaschen sein, wie David und Manassas, wie David und Manassas, wie David und Manassas, wie David und Manassas. Thank you. ich mein Herz zufrieden gib und dem unser Wille leb, in kindlichem Gehorsam. In kindlichem Gehorsam. Oh.
a devotional cantata by Johann Wolfgang Frank. And the performers there and all through the programme were the countertenor Robin Blaise with the Theatre of the Air, part of their concert given earlier in May at St John's Smith Square. Now, I know from my own experience that choosing exactly the right mix of musicians for an ensemble is absolutely vital. Working together can be quite, shall we say, intense, not to mention making sure everyone agrees on repertoire. Elizabeth Kenny formed the Theatre of the Air some 4 years ago. So how do they all get on?
Well, it shouldn't be like having a great evening with your mates, but in fact it is like having a great evening with your mates. I just thought of all the people I enjoyed playing with, but also all the people who are here. We've got Rachel, we've got Claire Salomon, Alison McGillivray, and James Johnston, as well as Robin. They're all people who have very distinctive personalities, and in a way it's therefore more than the sum of its parts. So sometimes what we like to explore is where those personalities actually kind of, you know, create a little bit of friction now and then. We thought that was quite fun in the music, that it's not all homogenous. So we explore when we have to kind of behave and be very much like each other, and when we can actually let one of the parts, particularly in this kind of programme, let the inner parts actually speak in a slightly different way. And quite a lot of the tension in the music, in a good way, I think, is based around that.
It's interesting you say about the inner parts coming forward, because the music you're performing in this concert was written by Austro-German composers, which it certainly has a different sound to it from the Italian style that was so prevalent and so much the thing in this period.
Yes, I mean, if we imagine an Italian sound today is somebody excitingly high at the top of their range, accompanied by a very low, very rich, sonorous bass, and the drama is in the exchanges between the two. Whereas this sometimes has that, but quite often also explores the middle, and the bass instrument, the viola da gamba that Alison's playing, is kind of schizophrenic between helping out with the bass line and then sometimes leaping up to be a kind of alto part, and sometimes slightly putting the brakes on the brilliance of the violins in a way. There's just this insistent gamba voice saying, actually, no, I speak in a different way. So the conversation is quite unpredictable between them.
Elizabeth Kenny talking about the Theatre of the Air. And we'll hear the sort of conversation or dialogue between the bass viol and the violin that she mentioned in this, the final piece in today's programme. It's a sonata by Johann Philipp Krieger, one of two composer brothers who spent much of their careers moving around the capitals of Europe, from Vienna to Bayreuth, from Halle to Weissenfels. Naturally, this included the obligatory Italian sojourn, and no doubt it was this that helped to make Krieger one of Germany's most popular composers of opera. He also provided the courts, though, with countless sacred works and instrumental pieces, including the trio sonata we're going to hear now. Mind you, it's not the usual lineup of, say, two violins and continuo. Instead, the viola da gamba comes out from the bass line and literally duets with the violin. And like all these earlier sonatas, there aren't separate movements as such, but short contrasting sections. And listen out for the wonderfully busy fugue before a bouncy jig rhythm brings the sonata to a close.
Thank you.
The Theatre of the Air, the violinist Rachel Podger, Alison MacGillivray on the viol da gamba, Elizabeth Kenny on the theorbo, and on harpsichord, James Johnston. And that ends this programme of highlights from the concert given earlier this month at St John's Smith Square, part of the Lufthansa Festival of Baroque Music. I'll be bringing you more from the festival next weekend with Bach for the viol da gamba, performed by Hilla Pearl, and on Sunday, music from Bohemia. So I hope you'll join me then.
Today's Early Music Show was presented by Lucy Skeeping.
On BBC Four, behind brutal regimes and in conflicts across the globe, organisations such as Amnesty International have campaigned for justice.
Our method is to establish groups of supporters as widely as we can all over the world.
But as it turns 50, can it continue to shine a light in today's society?
Amnesty has difficulties now because the response to the message about human rights is no longer so positive.
Amnesty, when they are all free, part of the justice season this Tuesday night at 9 on BBC Four.
This is BBC Radio 3. It's 2 o'clock and time for the Sunday concert, which is presented by Petroc Trelawney.
A warm welcome to the Bridgewater Hall, where we're celebrating the arrival of that season that brings optimism, new life, and the hope of good and productive times ahead. Spring, the sweet spring, is the year's pleasant king. Shine out, fair sun, with all your heat. Show all your thousand-coloured light. Well, those are words by an anonymous 16th-century writer. Before them, a line by Thomas Nash, both set by Benjamin Britten in his Spring Symphony. He wrote the choral work in 1947, and today it's sung by the Halle Choir and Halle Children's Choir, and soloists Rebecca Evans, Sarah Connolly, and John Mark Ainsley. Sir Mark Elder, music director of the Halle, conducts this concert, which opens with works by Mozart and Handel. A little later, one of Mozart's wondrous trilogy of final symphonies, number 39 in E-flat. And in a concert that highlights the Halle's choral forces, we're going to begin with Handel arranging numbers from his oratorios in one of his concerti, A Due Cori. Number 2 includes an adaptation of the chorus, Lift Up Your Heads, O Ye Gates, from Messiah in the second movement. The first, third and fourth movements borrow from Esther, and the Passacaglia in the fourth draws on a birthday ode that Handel had written for Queen Anne in 1713, 35 years before he assembled the concerto. Well, I asked Mark Elder to explain just what's meant by the title Due Cori.
Well, the idea of writing a concerto a due cori was to feature two little instrumental choruses, and he pits them one against the other, like Gabrielli had done in generations gone by in St. Mark's in Venice. This particular concerto features two oboes, two horns and a bassoon in each group. So you have this little quintet, one either side of the stage, and they can answer each other and dialogue with each other and give a richness of invention to this really lovely work.
Mark Elder, who makes his way onto the stage now to conduct the Halle in Handel's Concerto A Due Cori, number 2 in F major. Thank you.
Thank you.